began the reading of verse number 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all of that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. May God add his blessings now to the reading of this word. Bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord, again I come before your throne and before this congregation of people with this precious word. I pray that you will anoint me as I break the bread of life with this so great a congregation of people. I thank you again for this church and for this pastor, this ministry, their outreach of evangelism. I pray, God, you'll continue to bless and add to this church such as should be saved. I thank you for all visitors that have come. They blessed us by coming. And I pray in turn that you will bless them as well, both physically and spiritually. Now, Lord, my desire is that you will make me a blessing both to this church and to this pastor. Anoint me to speak for you and not just talk about you. Anoint me for the service, and again I ask, your will be done in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I want to title my sermon this evening, The Story of a Touch. The Story of a Touch. The setting of this scripture, Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house, the ruler of the synagogue. His daughter is 12 years old, and she is at the point of death. As Jesus committed himself and they were proceeding along on their way to Jairus' house, all of a sudden, a Gentile woman, quite possibly a Samaritan, who had an issue of blood for 12 years and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. That's the case most of the time. She was a person of means, but her disease had reduced her to poverty. Here she was, she's struggling. Probably her disease had her bent over in a weakened state. She could barely move. But here she is. The crowd is large. She thinks, I'll just sneak through the crowd and sneak a healing from God and be on my way. Because of the condition, in her modesty, she didn't want to make a big scene. She couldn't turn to the church because she was considered to be unclean, and anyone else that touched her was unclean. So she said, I'll just sneak through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment. It's quite possible that Jesus wore a Jewish prayer shawl. Somebody said he did. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I later learned that in this Jewish prayer shawl, the tassels or whatever hangs down, it was woven in, covenant ties and other things. And can you imagine this woman? She's been over. She's struggling. She's weak. It would be a crack, the heart just can reach up even shoulder high to touch the border of the ground. But she said within herself, oh, I love that. She said within herself, if I can touch his hand. Let me tell you, the mind is the battlefield. Where faith is either won or lost. If the enemy can, he'll still distort that and destroy that until you'll struggle and you won't receive that miracle. But he said within herself, I made up my mind when I left that boat coach this afternoon. I said, I'm going to church. I'm going to church. I'm going to touch God today. I'm going to receive my miracle from God today. Hallelujah. I meant to come here. Yes, sir. Now, somebody said, well, you're a preacher. You ought to want to go to church. I haven't always been a preacher, but I've always wanted to go to church. Amen. There's something about this place. I feel the sacredness, the hallowedness of God's presence in this house. From the moment I walked in, hallelujah. As we began to pray in prayer meeting today and this afternoon, that is, that I began to feel the presence of God. I said, Lord, I thank you for the anointing that's going to be in this place tonight. I thank you for the healing that's going to be in this place tonight. I thank you, Lord, for those blessings that are going to come. I thank you in advance. I knew he was going to be here. He's here. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Here is a woman. Here is a woman who has struggled. I mean, every day of her life, she struggled. She faced death. With every drop of blood she lost, she faced death. And here she is, Jesus. He's passing along. The crowd is thronging him. And she thinks, I'm just going to slip on in. And I'll just touch him and I'll be on my way. Let me tell you something this evening. If God healed you, he meant to. You're not going to seek a blessing from God. No, you're not going to. He healed you. He meant to do it. If he blessed you, he meant to. All of God's dealing with mankind are fairly deliberate, if you will. If you feel the presence of God even now, God Almighty has already chosen you. Hallelujah. He's there now. Yes, sir. He said, I'm going to bless this one. I'm going to heal that one. Oh, yes, sir. When you sit in the presence of God, it lets me know that he has already made up his objective, if you will, and he's here to deliver, and he's here to set us free. She struggles. Wow. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And this is interesting to me. This girl, the Jairus' daughter, is 12 years old. This certain woman, somebody called her little Miss Nameless, nobody from nowhere. But here she is. She's suffered for 12 years. And all of a sudden, they meet. In the life of he was both a healer and a life-maker. Can you imagine that 12 years before this time, one family was happy and thrilled because they have a brand new baby? And then across town, another lady was devastated because of the news she received of a hopeless, incurable, here is death staring her, and that for 12 years. On one side of town, the emotion was joy. On the other side of town, the emotion was sorrow and fear. But all of a sudden, hallelujah, all of a sudden, the healer showed up. The 12 years of sorrow turned into rejoicing. The 12 years of sorrow turned into complete healing and restoration. While on the other side of town, death was closing in, seeking for the cords of life. Well, when this woman touched him, Jesus stopped that procession. Oh, my. He said, somebody has touched me in this place. Somebody's touched me. What disciples said, how absurd can you be? The crowd is thronging you. People are pulling at your clothes. How do you know that somebody's touched me? Because such a has gone out of me. Hallelujah. Well, can you imagine the setting? Can you see it now? Such has gone out of me. Somebody has touched Let me tell you, he has the same ability in this 21st century as he has when he walked the dusty roads of Judea. I'm here to tell you, he's the same God now as he was then. And our faith is, we must press until we'll touch him. Hallelujah. Oh, good Lord. Yes, in hell would say to us, there is no use. The prognosis is terminal. There's no use. But wait a minute. He said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. That is his word. I said, that is his word. If we can believe that tonight, press past the critics, press past those that discourage us, those that find fault. Hey, I'm the one that needs the touch. I'm the one that needs the healing. I don't care what you think about it. It doesn't matter. Your opinion of me doesn't change God's attitude toward me. So it doesn't matter. You may think I'm wrong sometimes if you slip up on me and hear me praying. But I'm telling you, it's my relationship with God that matters. Oh, yes, sir. It's my relationship with God. And so you say, I'm here to tell you, I know that he is a God that can heal and that can deliver. And regardless of your situation or your circumstances, God Almighty is in the deliverance business. He's in the healing business. And he said, if you will call me, I will answer you. Wow. Here he is. Can you imagine the moment? Woo! Can you imagine the moment when she gets a hold of that? You know, something's happened, isn't it? Somebody's touched it. Who touched it? She came forth trembling, knowing what had happened in her. If you told all that had taken place and what God had done in her, oh, they're rejoicing. They're rejoicing. Come over here. Right in the middle of all that worship and praise service comes the news. Trouble the master no more. Your daughter's dead. Then we have another. We have a change of life again. Now this family that once had joy is mourning, and this family that once had sorrow is rejoicing. When they tell you that your child is dead, what do? We begin to try to think about funeral arrangements and so on and so forth. Here's the Irish is. All of a sudden, Jesus looked at him and said, only believe. I read that one day and I said, there's more to it than meets the eye here. Only believe. Only believe. So I began to search through my reference material, and I picked up my Amplified Bible. And the Amplified Bible said, only keep on believing. In other words, we're not gonna shut it down. Just say, hey, the same faith that brought us to where we are now. We're going to continue. We haven't got the miracle yet, but our faith is still the same. Nothing has changed. Hallelujah, nothing has changed. Oh, yes, sir. Here is a woman rejoicing. She's healed. She don't have to worry about the disease or hemorrhaging anymore. Everything is right. Everything is well. And here Jairus is on his way to his house of mourning. When Jesus got there, he just said to them, look, this girl's just asleep. Nothing, you know, they laughed him to scorn. He put out the doubters, brought his disciples and the mother and father in, and he said to this young girl, Talitha Kumar, which means damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And she arose. She was well. Why? The resurrection had showed up. The resurrection showed up. Well, now, when I began to feel his presence a few moments ago, I said, God just showed up. I don't know what you're going to do tonight. Hallelujah. Got you here. I don't know what you're going to do tonight. Oh, Lord, the expectation, the joy of it all. I'm not serving a dead God. I'm serving a living God. And what he has promised in his word, I will do. He said, call, I'll answer you. Call, I'll answer you. Oh, two or three are gathered in my name. Where am I in the midst of them? Let me tell you, if two or three are there and he's in the midst, I'm telling you, you talk about it. He's the CEO, if you will, of the whole thing, brother. And the master shows up. You talk about a special meeting place. Here we are. And there, in that atmosphere, God Almighty can move I was listening to you sing a few moments ago, and I leaned over to Brother Charles, and I said, oh, my wisdom would believe what they were singing tonight. We're singing to the top of our voice, there's power in the blood. My. I said, I wish they'd believe that tonight. You come out of that chair, you come out of that pew, I'm telling you, unprecedented. It would happen in this place if you believe that. Where the healing waters flow, yeah, I said, hey, if you just believe that, you'd come up. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I'm the vine, and you're the branch. Now, I want to tell you, whatever is in that vine is in the branch. If there's healing in that vine, then there's healing in the branch. If there's righteousness in the vine, there's righteousness in the branch. If there's redemption in the vine, there's redemption in that branch. I'm a part of that. Hey, hallelujah. I'm connected. I'm not a separate entity. I'm in Him. He is in me. And He said, if you keep my word, yes, sir. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah. I was speaking at a camp meeting up in southern Arkansas several years ago, and I had an old Assembly of God preacher who joined me, a Brother Allen, and he was one of the speakers during the day service. And, you know, 90 years old, I said, 5-10 minutes, he'd be maxed out in the hunt. Man, was I wrong. 45 minutes later, he's still hitting on all 8 cylinders. He hadn't lost anything. But old Brother Allen told the story of being a Bible school student during the days of P.T. Nelson. P.T. Nelson was traveling, I believe, the state was Wisconsin. And young Bible school student, Brother Allen, was traveling with him. They were preaching a revival. A little girl in that church was born crippled. She had braces on her feet. And one day she looked at her mother. And she said, I want you to go to town, and I want you to buy me a pair of red shoes. She said, honey, you can't wear shoes. Yes, but God is going to heal me tonight, and I'm going to wear them shoes. Go get them. Her mother rolled up and went to town and got those shoes. They went to church that night. P.T. Nelson laid hands on that young lady, prayed for her. No bells rung, no holes blew, nothing new. She just reached over in that box. She took the brace off of the foot, the right foot. It just fell lifeless. She reached into the box. She got the shoe out. As soon as she put the foot down in the shoe, instantly. She reached over and took the brace off of the other foot. It fell just as lifeless as the right one did. The left one fell as lifeless as the right one did. She didn't despair. She reached in that shoebox and got another shoe, put that foot down in that shoe, and when she did, instantly, it was healed. Brother Allen said she was dancing and shouting all over that church that night. What happened? The touch of God. My Lord. Hell would try and destroy every ounce of faith that you have. I said, hell would try and destroy every ounce of faith that you have. But the Bible said to us, greater is that He that is within me than He that is within the world. A few years ago, about 1977 to be exact, in the month of September, I was taking care of a church in Granite City, Illinois, for a pastor to go on vacation. Well, he had given me the list of everybody in the hospital, and so, you know, didn't tell me when to go or how to go, so I said, well, I must go every day, so I did. Well, Sister May attended that church. She was a lady there in the hospital over in San Luis, so I drove over there to see her. When I walked in that room, there was a little black lady with a silver hair, I'm telling you, just a unique little person. She's laying in the bed, and I walked in. I spoke, went on over. Sister May laid hands on her, prayed for her, and I told her, said, anything you need, let me know. I'll be here tomorrow. Just let me know if there's something you want to eat or food or something. Let me know. I'll be here tomorrow. I started out that door, and now this little black lady is sitting on the side of the bed. She's not laying anymore. She's sitting on the side of the bed. I said, how are you? She said, I hear you, Reverend. I hear you what you said. I said, you want me to pray for you? Yes, sir. I told you. I laid hands on that little silver head, the Holy Ghost in her. She's a dancing gal sitting on the side of that bed. I left out, went on walked in and the bed went up. I panicked. Anybody forgetting that? I panicked. I said, Sister Mary, what happened to your little black sister here? What happened to her? She said, oh, Brother Danny, you don't know it, but a miracle took place in this room when you walked out. I said, what happened? She said the doctors had only given her so long to live. It was terminal. There was no hope for her. She was dying. But said, when you prayed for her, God instantly healed her body. And he just makes her. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Come on. Oh, my. You know, the unbeliever doesn't believe that. It's only the believer. So if you don't believe that, then don't worry. Don't mess up your soul before. You'll have to use it tomorrow. But I'm telling you, people like myself, we believe what happened because we believe in a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we should ask, according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. He's able to move. He will. He is. He has. How many times has hell screamed at you and said, you might as well quit? It's all over. You might as well give it up. Oh, no. We're not going to do that. He said, if you call on that name, I'll answer. If you call on that name, my trust and my faith is in nothing less than God's ability, the power of his word. He will do what he said he will do. Hallelujah. This is the country. To press beyond. Somebody said, I'm tired. This is the tiredest generation I've ever met in my life. One fellow flopped down his lazy boy and said, I am tired. T-A-R-D, tired. I said, that's tired, but then you're really tired when you're tired. But tired, really, and when we have a tendency, the devil can use that. And we'll sit there, you know. Somebody said, are you going to treat this happy? I said, no, no, no. You going to bless us tonight? I don't know. Hallelujah. Come on. The Bible said in Luke 16:16, the Lord and the prophets were unto John. But since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and every man is impressed. And you're going to have to move from where you are. Doubt's going to say to you, you might as well give it up. Doubt's going to say to you, well, it's just going to be another five-night meeting, and that's all there is to it. I don't know about you, but I got more of an expectation than that. Hallelujah. I got more of an expectation. I come down that road Friday and I said, God, we don't want a protracted meeting. We want a revival. And I hear the heart cry of this pastor, give us a revival. Stir us again. Move us again. Hallelujah. Let the presence and the power of your spirit work miracles in our midst. Touch us now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good district children got saved. And her husband, John, he was a son of one of the preachers that was in the 1914 General Council of the Assemblies of God. He was actually an adopted child. And his mother and father adopted him when he was, they were older, of course, and so they died when he was yet quite young. And he went in sin, went deep in sin. Cordessa got saved, John. Cordessa. That night after she prayed, she took a napkin up and she said to the preacher, said, my husband's not saved. He said, I can't live for God if he's not saved. I want you to pray over this napkin. And they did. John worked at the steel mill in Granite City. He'd come in every night after work, sit down on the side of the bed and pull his boots off. And so Cordessa put that prayer cloth between those mattresses on that side of the bed. John didn't know what he was sitting on. But I can tell you, 2 weeks later, old John didn't come in and pull his boots off. He turned around and made that side of the bed an altar, and God saved him. Hallelujah. God saved him. And all my. I talked with R.W. Shambach once, and Shambach said to me, I preach all the time with prayer cloths in my pocket. I said, he said, anything about the man of God is in one. Come down to his tombstone. So since that time, I put him in my pocket. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I don't believe it. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, I'm sorry, but it works. Hallelujah. I said, it works. My God. I just simply believe. Well, but Timaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. I have my own commentary on that. I don't know why, that it was unusual for the noise to be there. Living in a metropolitan area on main streets, we got noise. On the side streets, a little different story. Less travel, say amen. Oh, yes. So I think the mayor of Jericho said, we don't display it on main street with our tourist attraction and our tourists coming through town. So put him on the state route. Put him off on one side road somewhere. But there he is. He's begging. The son of Timaeus. He had no home whatsoever. He had no imagine. The Samaritan. No, can't see. Here he is. And he's begging. Here's the crowd coming. Here's the crowd coming. What's going on with this crowd? What's happening here? And somebody leaned over, probably another beggar, but leaned over and said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He'd heard about this blind man healer. Come on. He'd heard about this blind man healer. And he said, I don't know what he can do. And he cried out. He cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, they said, hush, blind man. You're messing up our meeting. Why don't you be quiet? But he knew. Have that touch. It's now or never. It's all over. Amen. It's all over. There's some of you sitting here today. You need it. It's now or never for you. You've got to have it now. You can't wait. You can't wait. It's desperate. You must have that touch. We must get his attention. Hallelujah. I said we must get his attention. And so Bartimaeus knew it's now or never. And he cried the more. Jesus then stopped the procession and called the blind man. Hallelujah. By this, he laid aside that blind man robe, whatever that beggar's garment. He laid it aside. Why? The master's taught him. If you feel in the Holy Ghost now, the master's calling you. Hallelujah. I said the master's calling you. He heard you cry. If you feel in that touch, the needs you have, a lost son, a lost daughter, maybe a financial need, a physical need, a spiritual need, and all of a sudden, you're feeling that now. What is it? Hey, he's calling for you. Hallelujah. He's calling for you. I'll take care of your problem. Bring it to me. I'll take care of that. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, sir. Hey, come blind man. Here he comes. Hey, what do you want? Oh, that I might see. Wow. Oh, that I might see. God opened his eyes. What's the problem? It's time we pray. Well, he touched me. Hallelujah. I had a great friend of mine, Brother Roy Drum. He was born in Algiers, close to remember from New Orleans. He and his wife, both little short people, had a little accident. Roy Drum wasn't scared of nothing. I'm telling you, he wasn't afraid of anything. He pastored a church in Louisiana, and he had a deacon in his church. The daughter of the deacon, he thought she was an atheist. You know, there are no real true atheists in the world. In order to not believe in a God, you have to first believe there is one. You have to deny his existence. So there are no true atheists. Well, this young lady, Roy Drum and his wife, drove out to the deacon's house. This young lady came out of the house and she said, I don't believe you're preaching. I don't want to hear anything about your God. I don't want to hear your Bible. I'm not interested at all whatsoever. There is no God. I do not know. Roy Drum never stopped walking. I like this kind of people. He never stopped walking. He and his wife walked right on up the steps and right on in the house and went. Well, I mean, here she was a few yards and she's carrying on for who laid the rail. Finally, she ran out of anything to argue about. And she said to Roy Drum, he's a country folks now. She said, I'm going to tell you something, preacher. My dad has an old coon hound that's already dug a hole out in the backyard. He's dying. He said, maybe he did, now. I don't know. But what I'm going to tell you, if there's anything to your God, you go out there and pray for that dog. And if God would heal him, then I'll believe. Roy Drum said, Brenda, they thought if people had seen me, they would have thought I was crazy. He said, the only all I could find was a little silver can that sat on the stove. Anybody remember those little silver cans? Where you took that, and then all that grease and pot, you poured it in that little silver can, and it strained it so you could use it again. He said, brother, that's the only thing I could find. He said, I went out in that bathtub, I said, true to form. Said, that dog was for sin, you could almost teach it. Now, that's evangelistically speaking, you know. You could almost teach it. Well, Roy Jones said, he said, brother, they'd have thought I was crazy. He said, all of a sudden, he said, I started at the end of his nose with that cooking oil. He said, I poured it all the way down his back into the end of his tail. And he said, Lord, you heard what our sister said about this dog. Said he didn't even get his prayer finished. Said that old dog waddled up out of that hole, took the dust off of him, threw his head back and hollered, oh! And when he did, that girl screamed in that kitchen, oh God, I'm a dirty, low-down, rotten sinner. I want you to save me. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, we must touch him. I said, we must touch him. Oh, yes, sir. You may struggle. Oh, yes, but I'm here to tell you, God is still in business. Hallelujah. God is still in business. And he'll do what he said in his word. Do you believe it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, Jim. My God. My God. My God. My dad was a young Christian, Charles. He went to church on Saturday night. They don't hardly have church on Sunday night anymore, much less. One young preacher told me, said, I don't have church on Sunday night. I said, why? They won't come. I said, that's why you don't have it. But on Saturday night, my little brother was so sick. He's dying, brother. See me, my little brother was dying. Couldn't eat anything. Couldn't even drink water. My dad went to church on Saturday night, and the preacher, brother Robert, preached on anointing napkins and laid them on the floor. My dad didn't have any better sense to believe what he said. Took his handkerchief out of his pocket. He said, I got a boy at home dying. I said, but you anoint this napkin, this handkerchief for me, would you? My dad took it home that night. Walked in my brother's bedroom, lifted up into an old pajama top, and tucked that handkerchief down his side, and went to bed. The next morning, he got up, my dad, walked in that bedroom, and said to my brother, said, Charlie, you want your breakfast? He said, Daddy, I'm about starved to death. He said, I want you to fix me. Now this, if you're from the north, you think this won't help you. But this is a good old-fashioned southern breakfast. What do you want, Kevin? I want two fried eggs, and I want grits, and I want bacon, and I want toast. And I'm going to sweet ice tea. That'll cure it. Whatever's wrong with you, that'll cure it. My little brother sat down at the table and ate that. Never was sick again. God healed his body.